Hello and welcome to the Mystic Cast. We join Jack Stafford and Deborah Littleboy, members of the Aetherius Society, the cosmic religion for the Aquarian Age, as we break down the barriers between religion, science, metaphysics, philosophy, and mysticism, all of which are really only aspects of the selfsame quest for truth. Please note, this is an independent program, not produced or fact-checked by the Aetherius Society. Today, our guest is Michael Gelb. Michael, hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
It's a great pleasure to have you. I actually had your book. I remember when I was growing up, my brother had it, How to Think Like Da Vinci.
Oh, wonderful. Yes, the 25-year anniversary of the release of the book. And today is the actual day it made the Washington Post bestseller list.
Historic. Congratulations. So
thank you.
But since then you've moved on to, I won't say bigger and brighter things, but you've continued on the path, and now you're working on how businesses can save the world. Can you kick us off with that? Tell us what you're up to.
Sure. Well, I've actually been working on that all along. So everything that I worked on over the course of the last 4 or 5 decades has been part of an overall focus on helping people awaken and transform. And it dawned on me many years ago that business was the key for that to happen. That's where the power was. That's where the money was. But that's not where the consciousness was. So, or the creativity. But I thought that I was blessed early in my career when I was teaching creative thinking and how to develop the mind, improve memory, improve reading ability, learning, accelerate learning. The people who began to engage me, they weren't politicians, as you might imagine, even though I lived in Washington, D.C. And there were a few educators who were interested, but education was pretty bureaucratic. But much to my surprise, the people who engaged me were business leaders. And I was really lucky to be hired as a consultant by some remarkable, humanistic, visionary, wonderful people who wanted to make the world a better place for their businesses. So they brought me in, and I learned about management and leadership by studying my clients. I was teaching them creative thinking and accelerated learning. When I learned about business, really starting in the late 1970s and early 1980s, when I began working with businesses all around the world. I was very lucky to be able to travel around the world and get a global view early in my career. And it began to dawn on me, okay, this is where the leverage is. So this is what my mission is to help make business more creative, more conscious, more compassionate.
But doesn't the corporate structure of businesses prohibit that, in that they have to make a return for their shareholders there, even if it's at the expense of the planet? How do you overcome that?
Well, that's a big question.
You're here to answer it, not me. Yeah, I asked the question.
I wrote a whole book about it. That's my best shot for the healing organization. But it's really predicated on something very practical. So my co-author is a business school professor, and he was one of the first to do the research showing that companies who are good stewards of the earth, who are consistently ethical, but more than just ethical, they don't just not lie, cheat, and steal, actively caring about all of their stakeholders, not just their shareholders.
You mean the Patagonias of the world?
Patagonias of the world. Those companies are more successful. They make more money. So it's an overwhelming argument, in the sense that not only do you get to sleep better at night and know that you're helping to make a better world for your children and your grandchildren, not to mention for yourself and everyone you know right now, but you'll be more successful. So my co-author, I've been working on this for many years, I actually met him in the 90s, the mid 90s or so. I was invited to speak at the George Mason University Executive MBA program in Virginia by Raj Chittoria, who was the head of that executive MBA program, to do my 3-day program in high performance learning, which I did, was very well received. So Raj and I stayed in touch. And a couple of years later, he sent me the manuscript for this book he wrote called Firms of Endearment. And it was a series of case studies of companies who treat all their stakeholders with care consistently and how they outperformed, you know, for example, the good to great companies in Jim Collins' book, the Firms of Endearment companies just made more money than those Jim Collins good to great companies that were measuring success only financially, whereas the Firms of Endearment companies were measuring it by environmental impact and how much people love the company and how much clients love the company, as well as by financial indicators. But the companies that were endearing were also more profitable. So Raj sent me this draft and then it became a book and we stayed in touch. And then he, along with John Mackey, the founder of Whole Foods, began the conscious capitalism movement in around 2008, 2009. And they convened the first conscious capitalist CEO summit and asked me to be the keynote speaker. And then they invited me back the next year to be the master of ceremonies and facilitator. And I think I wound up speaking at 4 or 5 of their events. So here's the sweet synchronicity that happened in the middle of all this. You know, when I read Firms of Endearment, I thought, and when conscious capitalism was born, I thought, oh, here's a movement with data behind it, with real business school professors and serious CEOs of companies saying that what I've always intuited is true. That's really cool. So it was very validating for me because I used to think of myself as just a Trojan horse trying to get into the walls of these corporate cities to spread some consciousness and compassion and kindness and creativity. But now here was a growing, emerging movement with...
This was before Whole Foods got bought by Amazon then.
Well, I'll tell you that story too, because it's very poignant and cuts to the essence of what the challenge is. But we were at, I think it was the third CEO summit. And the theme of that summit was the emerging role of women leaders in conscious business. So we had some really interesting presenters. We had Jean Houston, this wonderful author, a double PhD, worked with Margaret Mead, anthropology, and she's also a remarkable shaman. We had Marianne Williamson was one of the speakers, a couple other very brilliant, powerful women, and I was the MC. So I was introducing them, and I gave a closing keynote about the integration of the masculine and feminine energies, the yin and yang, being beyond gender and so on. And Raj introduced me to give the closing keynote. And at the closing keynote, he said to everybody publicly something he'd never told me, which was that when he brought me into the MBA program to teach creativity and so on, that's what inspired him to realize he was creative enough to write this book, Firms of Endearment, which led to conscious capitalism, which led to me being there with him at that moment.
That's praise indeed, yeah.
Isn't that cool? Which led to Raj and I saying, gee, we need to really write a book together. So that was the beginning of writing The Healing Organization. But coming back to John Mackey and Whole Foods being brought out by Amazon. So the inside story of that is that John Mackey was put in a position where Amazon was the absolute lesser of many potential evils. So, you know, corporate raiders had basically bought 9% of Whole Foods stock. And that gave them enough influence that they were basically trying to sell the company off to people who would have butchered it and made a short-term profit and destroyed it. They wanted to make it part of Kroger or Albertsons. So Amazon, this happened on a Thursday, and literally John Mackey, senior team of Whole Foods, and flew out to meet with Jeff Bezos and the senior team of Amazon to try to work out something that would let Whole Foods function with some degree of the ethos and culture and caring for the planet that had given it birth. So, you know, it was a tough.
It's a murky world there.
None of this is all happy la la land by any means.
All right. Well, let's raise the vibrations a little bit, because, you know, most of our audience is members of the Aetherius Society. And I know Deborah sent you some links to check out. Did you get a chance to see some of that material?
Absolutely did. I wouldn't have been on this unless I checked it out. And like,
so let me bring in Deborah. What particularly do we think we're discussing today, Deb?
Well, for me, from my take on it, I think that we have to share truths. We have to be kind. Let me start by saying my hero is Mother Teresa. And the thing that I like, whether she said this or not, but it's written that she might have said this, that if everybody was kind to the person that they stood in front of and will come to them, we would have no problems. And that just makes such perfect sense. There's no us and them. There's only us, and we're all in it together to make a better world, which you started off with, you know, Michael, that we need to leave a better world for generations to come, and we need to live in a better world, and we need to appreciate different points of view. So when I was doing my little bit of research on you, and I saw that you were putting together this, like, how businesses are going to save the world, and I might have got this wrong, but have you got like a website forum where company CEOs will meet and discuss collectively how you can grow this, this enlightened approach? Was there something that I saw there? Or have I just imagined that, obseding it for you to do it later on, perhaps? But
well, first, my response to what you just shared is, you know, amen, hallelujah, that His Holiness the Dalai Lama says, my religion is kindness. He doesn't say my religion is Tibetan Buddhism. He says my religion is kindness. And I think he really means it. Because in terms of practice, in terms of what's in our circle of influence, we all have a circle of concern, what's happening in politics, what's happening with the environment, what's happening with people who are being oppressed, and we want to help, we want to make a difference, but what can you actually do every day to make a difference and raise the vibration of the planet? It's start with kindness. And by the way, start with kindness to yourself. And because then it's easier to be kind to a person who, and it's easy to be kind when people are being kind to you. The real challenge is to be kind to people who are corporate raiders who want to take over your company, or people who cut you off. The one that cracks me up is people cutting in front of everybody else in the Whole Foods parking lot so they can get to their organic food faster so that they can be helped and have a better environment. So it's kindness in the little activities of every day. Literally, how do you greet the person who's checking you out at whenever store you're checking out from, or the person walking down the street? And even if you don't greet them, it begins me with the practice of just blessing everybody. I aim to bless everybody that I interact with. And even if I'm not interacting with, I daily bless all sentient beings and all of life. So I think the more we open ourselves to and become conduits of that energy of kindness and love and the specific practical behaviors, even when we don't feel like it, that's where if you're not doing that, then there's going to be a disconnect. And so, yeah, that's where it all begins. So thank you for sharing that.
But is there a website where you guys meet up and share thoughts, or did I make that?
There's you know, the Conscious Capitalism website. There's there are lots of forums on LinkedIn. There are lots of actual live meetings with, you know, Raj and I were just in Colombia, in Bogota, Cali, and Medellin, doing programs on the Healing Organization for the biggest cement company in Colombia. I mean, this is a cement company. And, you know, the interesting thing is, when companies, I've observed this over the years, the more the company's product is something in the material world, the more likely it is for those people to just have a material world view of things. But this is a very unusual cement company, because its culture is a visionary culture that's predicated on kindness, that's predicated on uplifting all the people, all their stakeholders, all their clients, their environment. And, you know, again, those are the only people who hire me. The people who want to scorch the earth and exploit the workers don't read my books, and they don't call me up. They're out there, but we can have to bless them too and try to get them to read the books and watch our podcast and change the dialogue.
That the word blessing is such a powerful word. And when we realize that everything is a vibration, and by actually sounding out that word blessing, I bless you to that, blessings, it actually sends that vibration out to everything and everywhere. I don't know whether you saw, but one of our main practices is the service of the 12 blessings, where we physically bring the higher energy in, send it out through the chakras in the palms of our hands and our heart to 12 angels, if you want to, for want of a better thing, and they build up on it and interrelate with it. So at the end, the 12th blessing is to the absolute, to everything that is, was, ever will be. Everything all connected, and we bless it. But we built the vibration up. And I've got to say, with practice, and I've been doing it a few years now, with practice, when you get to that stage and you've stood there and you're sending it, what, your whole body is just like vibrating. It's like somebody's gonged you. So I know it works. And this was given to us by the Master Jesus, channeled through Dr. King, 1958, 12 consecutive Sundays. Powerful, and it's all encompassing. Nobody gets left out. Nothing gets left out. Not a stone gets left out, because we're taught everything has mind. Made of mind is mind. Everything responds to vibrations, which come, you know, and if you put it with that force of emotion, and you bless it, and I bless you, Michael. I bless you for the work you're doing. But you feel that. You must feel that, because I've sent it to you. I feel it when I send it to you. And if we could get everybody just getting that, my God, we'd just be hugging. We'd have the whole world of hugs. We'd just be feeding off of the sun. We wouldn't even need any food.
I want a hug now.
Just be vibrating vibe. And that's my dream. Just want it put there, Jack.
Well, just want it put there. What's wonderful about that is, from my perspective, what you're sharing is just universal wisdom. It's the universal teaching. It has arisen in many different forms, but you can recognize it by love, by kindness, by blessing, by goodness, truth, beauty, and goodness. They all go together. And then the challenge is, you know, how do we get businesses to be places where, what's really cool is I have clients where people are like that with each other and they're like that with their clients and they're doing wonderful things and people are making a living and generating prosperity and doing good service and being very profitable. So yes, how do we translate those, the ideals that you just shared and the beautiful practices into the structures that are very powerful in our world, like business, and we weren't even talking about politics yet, but let's start with business.
Keep off politics.
Right.
But, and by just speaking of, you know, the whole notion of vibration, so the way we connected, so I'm blessed to have the opportunity to present through the Theosophical Society of America. And I'm doing
a program. That's how I came across you. I was going to ask about that.
Yeah, on September 16th, I'm doing a program for them where we're taking everyone through how do you raise your vibration based on the work of Dr. David Hawkins, who wrote with Power Versus Force. And what I've been studying for many years, Qigong lineages, and I've connected archetypal Qigong practices with Hawkins' journey through the evolution of consciousness. So then I guide people through embodied practices for accessing higher and higher vibration. And from, you know, the reading I did in preparation of Dr. King's brilliant work and the 12 blessings and the other things that it all seemed to know. Yeah, this is all ways of bringing these energies through your movement, through your intention, through the opening of your being to something that is greater than your own ego that blesses the world. And, you know, my view is we all need all the help we can get. So whether it's Course in Miracles or whatever it happens to be, by their fruit shall ye know them. So I just look at also how are people kind in the way they interact. And if they are, then I want to associate with them and be on their podcast.
Well, thank you. Can I just ask a question? And I forgot, is it Aikido? What the five down black belt? What's that? Does that mean you can? Well, what does that mean?
It means I studied it a lot. It means I fell down. You have to fall down a lot for each rung you go up. You have to surrender and let go and experience the power of the natural flow it's like I'm here at the ocean and if you ever have tried this experiment, I tried it many years ago when I was first really studying martial arts. I work on having a very strong stance so that it's hard to push me over. And that's part of the thing is not being a pushover, is being able to have a really strong stance and flow. And in Aikido, you do that by being really relaxed and really connected to the earth, connected to the elements. So if somebody pushes on you instead of resisting or trying to be aggressive, you just receive that energy and flow with it and treat it as a gift and transform it. Well, that sounds easy to say, but to actually do that takes a lot of training and a lot of practice. Anyway, many years ago, I said, okay, let me see how I can do with this incredible force of water. So I went out to stand in the ocean. I said, my stance is really strong. So the wave came and I was able to stand through a number of different waves. And I was being buffeted about, but I grounded into the center of the earth and I relaxed. And the next wave came and I actually was able to flow with that wave and keep my stance. And then a wave came along with the undertow. And it smashed me way up on the beach. And like arms and legs akimbo, expands in my nose and my mouth. And I was laughing so hard, because it was just like, So you know, just keep everything in perspective. So a fifth degree black belt, a fifth dan in Aikido is pretty good at dealing with oncoming forces and transforming them and practicing. Again, it's part of, it's literally turning the other cheek. It's literally when a force comes at you, instead of resisting it, moving with it and blessing someone who's attacked you in a way that creates connection rather than more conflict.
So it's
a practice of that I found to be a tremendous, tremendous gift that I've immersed myself in for many decades.
And just still practice that now, do you, in your sort of daily nuts and bolts life?
Well, about 15, 16 years ago, I switched, having achieved the fifth degree black belt. I'm one of these people, I like beginner's mind. So I didn't want to spend all my time being an Aikido sensei and teaching beginners what I already had evolved. I wanted to learn something completely new. So I started the Wu style Tai Chi with an amazing master who became one of my best friends. And now I teach Wu style Tai Chi. So that's what I practice every day, along with Qigong, which is a little more practical. You know, I'm over 70 now, so it's a little more practical instead of flying through the air and taking thousands of break pulls. I do something a little different now.
Fuck.
But you talk about power versus force. That seems to come through a lot through your work. And I'm looking at this course you're running on the Theosophical website, and it goes from the beginning, courage, then up through neutrality, willingness, acceptance, reason, love, joy, peace, and then enlightenment. And I was thinking about the nine freedoms, Deborah, and how a lot of those words resonate, because we're told the first three freedoms in no particular order are bravery, love, and service, which, yeah, you've got love in there. Bravery is obviously courage, and service is, I don't see that in there, but it's about probably all together, no? And then enlightenment, cosmic consciousness, and ascension are the next three. So you raise the kundalini once you've gained enough, you raise your consciousness enough, the kundalini will rise. And so there's a lot of
Another way of saying it is when you reach the highest level, there are no levels.
So there's always levels. After ascension, you've got interplanetary existence, Saturnian existence, solar existence, and then you move on to the real things.
but the thing that struck me, Michael, is that you said that you got to your five dan by falling down a lot, and almost like we're told that we're here to serve. And so when we're raising our consciousness, it's not for us to sit there in the bliss and hum pleasantly to ourselves and let Rome burn. No. You go and you get that, then you come down and you're kind and you put practice. What you've learned, you use that to raise the rest, because we're all part of the rest. And that falling down is almost like, don't sit on the laurels. You go, thanks very much for that. Hey, guys, look what I just found. Offer it with kindness and love. And then you go to a little bit higher than that as well. And you think, oh, gracious, I found that. Hey,
that's exactly what Michael's doing.
The hope that everybody will, because we're magnets and we like to see a good thing, and we know, you know, so if we get everybody just doing it, we go back to Mother Teresa, my hero, but at these higher levels and then feeding people because they're impoverished. We're feeding them a higher vibrational mind food. And I see you as that's a guru of that, as a way shower.
Well, Hawkins was a medical doctor. I believe he also had a PhD. He was a brilliant, brilliant guy. And it's, what he's done is a little controversial. Some people question it, his methodology, but he's actually assigned a numerical rating to different states of consciousness. And he would calibrate the level of consciousness of, for example, different books or different teachings. And you know, Christ and Buddha calibrating it at the very highest level. And Einstein calibrated at the highest level of reason, and right next to the level of love, which is really interesting because Einstein's best known for his high level reason, but his contribution to humanity was beyond just making predictions of what was going to happen in space. It was putting forth a message of oneness and kindness and caring and love. So Hawkins states that most people kind of are stuck at a particular level of vibration. For many people, that's below the level 200, which is the level. So 200 is the beginning of power. Below the level 200 is when your life is run by egotism, pride, fear, anger, guilt, shame. And for a lot of people, that's a typical day at the office. And what Hawkins points out, and it's powerful, something to reflect on. He says, if you can raise up in your whole lifetime, if you can raise up your own vibration so that you consistently vibrate a little bit higher, just even a little bit. And we all want to, you know, we love ascension and transformation, cosmic consciousness.
Bring it on, yeah.
But if you can just, you know, be a little kinder, be a little more loving, be a little more awake, Hawkins' notion is you ripple out and affect everything in a beautiful and wonderful way. So I like to look at, while we contemplate these great cosmic truths, I just like to look at what are we doing today to be kinder, to be of service, to be loving. I like to make people laugh. I like to teach people something that will help enrich their life. That's my passion. I like to make my wife laugh. I call it my mom and dad to tell them I love them every day. And my parents are 97 and 92. So while I'm out here changing the world, I call my parents every day. I get in the car and I go visit them, because if you don't start by loving your family, you know, my brother just came. He has very different political views than I do. I consider his views utterly abhorrent and horrifying. But he's my brother, so I have to drive down and be as loving as I can. And I was actually very loving to him because I just saw him as an essence, not as a holder of views that I think are abhorrent. So for me, while I'm writing these books and teaching all this stuff, I'm sharing this because this is what I think the real practice, it's what was said earlier, if we all practice this way, just how can I be kind and be of service and bless people and all sentient beings in whatever situation I'm in right now. Live that question. Rilke said the question, that's the question for us all to live for starters.
That's great to hear, because a lot of these new age teachings can be, you know, if you just get control of your mind, if you just live in the now, yeah, it'll be great. You'll advance. But really, it's about what you do to raise up other people.
Yeah, I go with that 100%. And also, if you've got some, if you're too highbrow, then many people just don't get you. And if they don't understand you, if you're not speaking in a language that they can sort of get, even if they, if you're that little bit, or you're acting just a little bit differently, they can accept that little bit differently. But it's a big leap to, you know, and then you get the disconnect. So we're layers of, aren't we? We're almost like we all pull each other up and we're all at a slightly different level. But whoever comes in front of you is there for a reason. And and that is your opportunity. I just see that because, yeah.
I liken it to the client
in front of me. I don't think I'd be able to learn very much because he would be using, I don't know. That's not fair because I would never do that. But if somebody is speaking from a different, completely different platform of consciousness to one that I've even considered, then there's that disconnect, and I can't get it. So
I think I've heard the analogy like we're all climbing a mountain in the fog, and it's very thick fog, and we can only see we know the Dalai Lama's up there somewhere, and Buddha's right at the top and everything, but you only can really get help from the people who are right in front of you, who've just come past you on the path and speak your language, and that's worked for me.
Been excellent. I've really enjoyed this. Well, are you going to go play with the waves now?
Try and stand.
That is just what I'm going to do next. Is, you know, so yesterday we found this beach where there are lots of seals. And they're so beautiful. They're just puppies that pop their sweet faces out of the ocean. And we just, I did my Qigong on the beach and I was experiencing oneness with everything. But then my wife and I, was just so wonderful. We just lay down on the beach, on the sand. And, you know, whenever you're walking on the earth, whenever you're lying down on the earth, you're lying on the whole earth. And so we were just lying there, like surrendering to just being supported by the fullness of Mother Earth, looking at the unlimited sky with the fabulous ocean all before us, with sweet little seals popping up to say hello, just to add a little bit of humor into the situation. And I was actually talking to this wonderful spiritual counselor, guide, friend of mine. And we're talking about whatever your karma is, whatever your trauma is, whether it's from a past lifetime, whether it's from this lifetime, whether it's just your family's lineage, let it go into Mother Earth, let it go into heaven, let it go into the ocean, exhale, and have a wonderful day.
I think that's a wonderful note to end on. I don't think we can top that. On that bombshell, people can find out more from your website, michaelgelb.com. Anywhere else they should follow you or find out about courses you're running?
Everything's michaelgelb.com, GELB. That's if you sign up for our free newsletter, you'll know everything we're doing. And the Theosophical Society event on September 16th is going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to that. And we try to do a lot, as many public things as we can, either online or live. Most of the stuff I'm doing is with these businesses or with private clients on Zoom, but I like to get out and make it accessible to as many people as possible. And also why I keep writing these books. There's a new one coming out next year as well. So yeah, website's the best way to stay in touch.
All right. Wonderful. And if people are interested in the Aetherius Society, they can go to aetherius.org. Thanks again, Michael.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Enjoy your day. Bless you.
Bless you.
Bye.